Turn to Psalm chapter 37. If you have a Bible, if not, someone will hand you one or you can borrow one and take some notes. Psalm chapter 37. If you read something in the Bible, just do it. Just do it. Whatever it says, and life will get better for you. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Psalm chapter 37. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, when you get excited about God, someone says, I can't afford to give God all my mindset. I can't afford to give God all my heart. I can't afford to give God all my time. I can't afford to stuck up in church all the time. But you know what? You have desires within your heart, some things that you want to accomplish with life, some things that you really want. But the Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. How do you get you to the desires of your heart? How do you grab a hold? God's not against you obtaining or grabbing a hold of your promises. God wants you to win. God wants you to be successful. And God wants you to have peace. But it says, but you have to delight yourself in the Lord for those things to come to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Everybody say rest. Say it one more time. Rest in the Lord. Does that mean take a nap in church? Well, some, you know, it doesn't mean come to church and sleep. But rest in the Lord means to enjoy the Holy Ghost, enjoy the Spirit of God, and just roll with it. Well, there's several tapes that we did out or some CDs that we talked about, the rest of the Lord. We talked about that for like 2 months. How do you bring your desires to pass? You know what? You put your petitions out there, you love God, and you rest in God, and he'll do it for you. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Well, there are several ways that people get stuff. In this world, some people get stuff by ripping off somebody else. You ever gone to the grocery store line? You know, when there's a big line, people are bumping into each other, running over each other's ankle to get to the first in the line. How do you get what you want? Some people think, I've got a business and it's all competition. If I'm just better than the next guy, I can do it. Not yourself. Don't get caught up in the rat race. You don't have to. God will bring it to pass. You don't have to do the things that everybody else does to win. You don't have to, you know, go crazy to get a contract here and there. Amen. You just rest in the Lord, and that peace that will abide over your life. People will tell that's some people that rest get things. Is this going to help anybody this morning? I'm going to say, well, don't worry about evildoers. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about how fast everybody else is growing, how big your neighbor's house is getting, the new car that somebody else got. Amen. I'm going to church and trying to do everything right, but why is everybody else getting blessed? And I'm trying to please God, and look at me. Rest in God and wait. Delight, you're just getting it a different way. You're going to get it. But you got to do it by resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him and not fretting yourself because of evildoers. Anybody ever work with an evildoer? Anybody ever had a death's nest to an evildoer? Amen. Anybody been in the same town with an evildoer? I mean, man, there's some rough cuts out there. Anybody ever been an evildoer? Oh, yes. Well, I tell you what, when the heat gets on, people act crazy. When competitions, people just get wild. I mean, people just go out of their mind and they get nuts. But we're not allowed to get nuts. You pace yourself by the word of God. What do you mean by pace yourself by the word of God? You act like the word says you should act, and you don't condition yourself to what everybody else is doing. If everybody else gets in fear, you don't get in fear. You got to hear God and do what God wants you to do. And see, many people are doing things because everybody else is doing it. Everybody else has got street signs out, so I need to put street signs out for my business. Are you getting where I'm going this morning? Everybody else, you know, and some men put pressure on their wives. Everybody else's wife has the perfect figure, and mine has got the figure eight. And if my wife just looked a little bit better, things would be wonderful. Or if my kids would just act better. It's my kids. It's everybody else's fault. I got to get what everybody else has. What's the problem? Fret not yourself. Because of evildoers. Well, what's an evildoer? Think about an evildoer. Is a big woman with a big black cap on? Huh? With a big black hat on, a little point on the top of it? Is it someone that's not of your political persuasion? Someone doesn't look like you, someone doesn't act. What is an evildoer? An evildoer is anyone that's doing anything outside of what God wants them to do. The Bible says, he that knows to do right and does it not, to that person it's sin. And we've made it so easy. We said an evildoer is the one that smokes cigarettes. The evildoer is the one that's got the bottle of scotch. The evildoer is this. Well, evil means anybody that's not obeying God for their life. Anybody that's off course. And we got a whole world of people out there. Every way to a man seems right, but the end only leads in death. The end. See, and we got to understand what evil is all about. Evil is anything that will destroy you. Sickness is evil. Disease is evil. Poverty is evil. All of those things are evil. And anything you do outside of the will of God will ultimately end in destruction, failure, evil. So it says, don't fret yourself because of the workers of evil. People that are out there with no direction for their life. No inspiration. There is something supernatural on the inside of you, and that's the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God within you, and it's that Spirit that's on the inside of you. It's life. And when you don't live out of that inspiration, and you don't live outside of that, when you don't live in that anointing, guess what? You're living after your own way. You're living after your own way, and ultimately, that's evil. That's scary, isn't it? Isn't that scary? How many want to live for the Spirit of God? And you can live right every day. All you got to do is follow your heart. You know the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. What does that mean, the blood of Jesus? It cleanses our heart. It cleanses our consciousness. It sets us free. Amen. You've got God on the inside of you. There's life on the inside of you. And you're to live out of that life. That's why morning prayer is important. That's why morning reading the word is important. That's why meditation on God and the things of God, those things are important. You've got to get in contact with the inner man or the inner person. So that you don't live your day copying everybody else, bent out of shape because your season's different than somebody else's season. Don't fret yourself. Tell somebody, fret not. But rest in the Lord. Because of him who shall prosper in his way, because that man bringeth forth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Anybody been on the right path? You've been following the inspiration of your heart? It just got to the point you said, I tried to be a good person. You know, I tried to do this. I tried to live inspirationally. I tried to live right. And it just didn't work after 1 week. I mean, it just didn't come together. I'm going to trash this. I've been living in sin all my life long, but I decide to live right for 3 days and nothing's happening. And you get ticked about it. And you want to give up. Anybody ever got mad because you decided to live right? Didn't work as fast as you wanted to, so you got mad about it. So you might as well get over it.
Don't get angry. And don't go into wrath. Don't get upset. Pace yourself and trust God. Hang in there and don't give up. Cease from anger and forsake wrath and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
Say, I'm not going to get ticked off about this. I don't care what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't care how rough it is. I choose not to get wigged out or bent out of shape about it. Now see, that we can all take things, you know, somebody say controlled ourselves by the word of God. We allow the word of God to control us and to handle us. And if I get up here and teach, say, hey, fear not. Everybody say, woo, yeah, let's not be afraid anymore. No more fear. But then we got to get up here and say, hey, let's not get wigged out anymore. So say, this year, I'm gonna grab a hold of my desires by delighting myself in the Lord. And I'm going to grab a hold of my, you know, when you get off into rage, wrath, and all those things, you know, when you lose yourself, you lose everything that you've been fighting for. If you can hold yourself, the Bible says, he that can control his own spirit is greater than anybody that can take a city. I mean, you can grab a hold of all these things you can win, but you don't have any control of your own spirit, any control over yourself. Anybody seen a person that appeared to be very successful in the eyes of men, but on the inside a big loser? Because they've not controlled themselves. Now let's go on. It says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's a promise from God. That's hard for us to conceive. The Bible says that those that follow their own ways will not win. They will be cut off from the earth. You know, the life that you have, it really belongs to God because he's the one that gave it to you. And you have an obligation to live it the way that he desires you to live it. But there is coming a day when all this stuff, just because it's set up, we think everything's secure, everything's stable, and everything's got it all, everybody's got it all together. Evildoers will be cut off. Evildoers will be cut off. Those that follow their own inspiration. You cannot do evil for long and expect to survive. God will not always let people be wigged out. God will not always let mankind, amen, tread upon one another and destroy one another. There is always a day when God says, hey, enough is enough. But in the end, those that follow the heart of God, they will stand and be stable. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotted against the just and gnashed upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Some say laugh. Now there was a wave of Holy Spirit laughter. Now we want to teach, you know, we're going to say some things because we got people that aren't used to a lot of things. But a lot of times you come to Nations Church and all of a sudden, supernaturally, someone might just start to laugh. You know, just laugh in the Holy Ghost and it freaks out people. And we think, well, God's just making the people happy. He's just making the people happy. He's giving them joy. Everybody needs to laugh. It's a healthy thing. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. But the spirit of laughter, you know, it's always been out there. But around the 80s, this phenomenon started to happen all over the body of Christ. And when I got a hold of it and found out about it, I was at Christ for the Nation, and it was going on, and we were freaked out about it. We were asking everybody, what's happening? Why is everybody laughing? Has anybody ever seen Holy Ghost laughter? Has anybody had Holy Ghost laughter come over them? That's God! And we can't be afraid of it. You know, I thought that, well, maybe it's a thing out of American culture. Maybe it's just something that we Pentecostals or Charismatics cooped up, this laughter thing. I mean, we had a hard time getting everybody to accept tongues. I mean, then some of them had a real rough time with the hand clapping in church. Some of them had a rough time with women in pants or whatever it was. Then all of a sudden, God pulls out the big one on them. He just laughs in church. I want you to know, but that laughter in church, it's the Spirit of God. But whenever it talks about God laughing in church, he's laughing because he's about to do something. That laughter is God about, it makes us feel good, but it's God laughing, and God is laughing. Whenever you read about God laughing in the Bible, he's always laughing because somebody thought they got over. It cracks him up. Men crack God up sometimes because they try to act like God. I mean, they think they got it all together. God is God, and there's only one God. He's all powerful. And I mean, you know, this, when you see the church starts to laugh, because the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, and the best thing you can, the closest thing you can get to God today, amen, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And this, really, the Bible says that this is a part of Jesus Christ, a part of God. And when the church starts to laugh, that means God is laughing. So I say, God's laughing. Because a switch is about to come on. Because mankind has gotten to the point to say, hey, we can make it without God. We can do whatever we want to. We rule, we win and re-rule the world. Has anybody ever played a game of Risk or anything? I love to play Risk. And, I mean, your opponent just kicks your behind all through the game. I mean, he wears your butt out through the entire game. Then for some crazy reason, something flips. And they expect you not to get happy about it, but you just can't help it. I mean, you just take one little continent after the next little continent, you know, and you're trying to be classy about it, you know. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Has anybody been that way? You know, you try to act dignified. You know, I don't mean to be happy that I win, you know. But every once in a while, a little smile will break forth, huh? You know, or you go someplace and you went to see a basketball game and your team's been losing the whole time. Then all of a sudden the ball goes in the other way for you. And you just sit up there and all of a little smile will crack out someplace. Well, that's what this scripture is all about. It says God will laugh. And I want you to find, you study it on your own and you study laughter in the Bible. It says laughter doeth good like a medicine. That's what we get out of it. But you got to understand that it's deeper than what we get out of it. We got to understand the significance of it. That God himself is laughing because he's about to change some things. We're about to see some things that we've never seen before. And we can trust the Bible because, you know, prophecies are coming to pass today like we could never imagine. And things that people thought, little systems that we believed in and things that we trusted in. I mean, what are they going to do? They find out now they can't stop global warming. And now they're biting their nails. I want to see them build a big glass air conditioning system around the world. Those are things that only God can handle, only things that God can control. You cannot control everything. You are dependent upon a supernatural being and a supernatural force, a supernatural man. His name is Jesus Christ to hold things together. And he's laughing. And we're about to get in on what he's laughing about. Well, I need to get back to what we're talking about. So it says this. It says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. There's a new day coming. There's a new day coming. Say it one more time. There's a new day coming. Whenever you sense supernatural laughter in there, you need to go to a meeting where there's supernatural laughter. I have complete confidence in supernatural Holy Ghost laughter. Get there. That is a supernatural thing that only God can do. And that's a testimony and a witness that there's a new day coming. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And those that don't fret have a reason to laugh. And you know what? Have you ever seen someone get into a battle? And if you were whipping somebody real bad, then all of a sudden they just started laughing, that would kind of get you off guard, wouldn't it? See, when you're crying, you know, your opponent thinks, I got him now. When you're biting your toenail, please don't hit me anymore. Please don't hit me anymore. But it gets to the point where you say, hey, that's it. Somebody say, snap. Say it one more time, snap. You got to have a snap every now and then. You need to snap. I really feel that in my spirit this morning. Somebody say snap. Usually when people snap, what happens? They get a new mindset real quick. You know, those things, you know, someone could snap over something so small, the dishes. Speaker, somebody playing guitar is too loud. Somebody say snap. Anybody need to snap this morning? Huh? Well, something's about to snap in the earth today. Amen. The new day. And those that refuse to fret and want to live for God, they'll begin to experience. And I want to write down, tell you eight things, and then I'm going to let you go. Or you can laugh if you want to. Or we'll laugh tonight. Somebody say, amen. Get to a Holy Ghost laughter meeting. Amen. God's laughing, but that's only the beginning. Where are we at in this fight? Bible says there's a war going on. Do you know that? There's a supernatural war going on. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And the church is the body of Christ. Do you know that? we're the weapon that he uses. Anybody got in a fight with somebody? Well, I can try to fight with you right now in my head, but if I don't open my mouth or swing, nothing really going to go down. And that's the same way with God. You know, let me fight Rita right now. Or Fred, try to fight me right now. Knock my head off. Come on. But you can't use your body. See, there's a war going on. And you got to realize that you are the body of Christ. And if anything's going to change physically, he's going to use his what? Physical body. Somebody say amen. He changes his mind. And the first thing he starts to do is laugh about it. And then his body will probably swing after the laughter. Let's get on to this. First, fret not yourself and don't be anxious. One, write that down. Number one, don't fret and don't be anxious. Hang in there. I mean, do this week. Do these things. I mean, live by this and nothing. I mean, I tell you, you'll be able to win in the end. I live this way and I found out that it works. I picked this up about a year ago and I've been through some stuff. But when you pick up this lifestyle, you don't have to do it anymore. Somebody say amen. It works. It works. So the first thing you always decide to say, I will not fret. One. Two, trust in the Lord. The first thing is that you refuse to fret. Don't get worried. I don't care what comes your way. I don't care the circumstance. I don't care the situation. I don't care what it looks like. Don't you fret about it. Don't you get wigged out about it. The moment you get wigged out about it, I mean, you have to, God's got to work through that situation before you can even start to work on it. Then you trust in God. You can't trust in God while you're fretting. It's hard to trust in God while you're afraid. First thing you got to deal with is get rid of the other stuff and then start to trust in God. And it says, and do good. Three, do good. Don't fret. Two, trust in God. Three, do something. Anybody do anything good today? If you just put that in your life, today I'm getting up today in order to do good. How can you do good? Go to the coffee shop. And when you go to the coffee shop, buy your coffee, amen. But if you got, instead of sticking that change in your pocket, amen, look at somebody in that shop and buy them a cup of coffee. People wonder why they don't get the delights of their heart and the desires of their heart because they refuse to do good. You don't have to be a millionaire to do good. A smile on your face, you can do good. I mean, if you got that mindset and you make it a point, somebody say, I'm going to do good this week. Every day I will do a good deed. You know, instead of freaking out, I'll get my wife's coffee or I'll get my husband's coffee. I'll do something good. I'll iron a shirt. I'll do good this week. Four, delight thyself in the Lord. Find something about God that you like and get glad about it and delight in it. Get joy out of God. Find something about God. Find something about faith. Find something about inspiration and enjoy doing it. Get into it. Make it a hobby that you enjoy. So that is number four, to delight thyself in the Lord. Five, commit thy path and trust him. Anybody ever had a five-year plan? They say you need a five-year plan, a four-year plan. You just need a plan. Don't make any plans that you don't involve God in. Everybody can pray and anybody can pray. Say, God, I got a plan. And right now I want you to get involved with my plans. God, get involved with my plans. I'm going to pray right now about these plans. If it's buying a new house, if it's promoting your business, get God involved in your plans. I'm getting there, okay? So, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy path, and trust him. Rest in the Lord. Somebody say, rest in the Lord. That is number six. And rest in the Lord means get drunk in the Holy Ghost, period, point blank. You might not understand what that means. You might need to get the tape or whatever it is, the CD with it is. But rest means just get fanatical about God. Amen. Just get drunk in the Holy Ghost and leave it alone. And then wait. And then it says wait patiently. Wait patiently for him. Eight means to cease from anger. Seven means to wait patiently. And eight means to cease from anger and fret not. That's what you do. And then I'm going to tell you what God does real quick. Okay, these are the promises that God will do for you if you do these things. One, the wicked and evildoers are cut down before them. That means that those that are out to do you harm, that your enemies and all the wicked, before you get your Bible and you read Psalm 37, this is what God said. The wicked and evildoers, you know, everybody's not on your side. Everybody doesn't care about you. Everybody didn't bring, we think that everybody loves us like our mama. People don't care about you people. I mean, they're not waiting to let you get through in the line and, you see how they cut you off on the freeway. People aren't thinking about you the way you think about yourself, okay? Somebody's ready to take your place quickly. And you got to be wise. But the Bible says when you live your life according to fretting not and getting into the rat race, that God, not you, you don't have to worry about cutting off your enemies, but the Lord will cut off your and cut off evildoers and cut them down before you. Two, it says we will dwell stable in the Lord. God will give you a stable mind. Anybody ever met an unstable person? No, I mean just completely unstable. One week, prisoner of the Lord. Next week, Harris County. That's an unstable person. And some of y'all sitting here looking all straight today. Amen. Somebody say, unstable. God will give you stability if you live like this. Three, you will be well fed. That means prosperity. God will guarantee you prosperity and you'll eat good. And that's a you know what, y'all? I eat so good. Hallelujah. You can claim that as a promise. Somebody say, surf and turf. Amen. Surf and turf steak. Somebody say, glory to God. You can claim that promise. Some of y'all need to leave Whataburger alone every now and then. You know, trust God a little bit and get out. Somebody say, good meals are from God. Period. Don't guilt yourself because you decide to go to the best restaurant in town. Amen. You're the one supposed to be eating well. Somebody say, eat well. You'll eat well, you'll be well fed. Four, it says you will receive the desires of your heart. That's a promise from God if you live by the first eight things we talked about, that you'll get the promises of your heart. And I believe that it might take a while to get there, but I had desires in my heart as a kid, and I didn't, you know, I just believed God for those things. You know, I just wanted to be a bus driver. Anybody ever heard that testimony? I had my parents so concerned because my goal was to be that bus driver. Everybody else was talking about a lawyer, a doctor, and all those other stuff. I said, I want that bus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, my mom was so concerned with me, I'd have a bicycle with somebody on the back of the bicycle. Woo! Stopping and dropping them off and kids standing on the corner. Waiting for me to ride my bike around. But we grow up. You know what I found out? Everything you pray for, you will get. Everything you pray for, you will get. And some people think, it's all over. Forget it. I didn't get it. You'll go back and get it. I wanted to be that bus driver, and I wanted to get, there were certain things I wanted to do, wanted to be. And I went along my path in life, but later on, I was in Bible college, and I was in my musical group, and they had that big Greyhound bus. And they said, we need a driver for this Greyhound bus. You know, it wasn't a Greyhound, it was one of them big gray ones, amen. But I was that bus driver for that short time, amen. We were cutting people off, amen. You ever seen a bus going like this, jerking like that? But you'll get that desire of your heart later on. You'll get it. There's no doubt in my mind that you won't get your stuff. Might come a couple seasons down the road. It will come back to you. Say, why am I going down this road? Because you got something you got to pick up. God keeps his word. Always. 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 I mean, you got some stuff out there. You think, well, that's a prayer missed, gone. No, God will bring it back. He'll bring it back and bring you to the past. He'll take you down roads sometimes you don't even imagine. You ever seen old men do young things? Act like kids? Why? God's answering prayers. That's why you should always stay young before the Lord and be open to every opportunity that he has for you, because God will do certain things. Okay, so one, you will receive the desires of your heart, and my plans that I commit come to pass. That means that every plan that you present to God or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, meditate on it, find scriptures about your plans. You've got plans, and you're not allowed to make plans where you don't get spiritual about it. So I say, get spiritual. I mean, you got to put them on the table and pray over them. Find scriptures about it. You know, I live this way. I put it in my day timer. Make the plans. Amen. Find scripture about it. Find scripture about it, start to confess it, start to believe it, start to meditate on those things. It says every plan that you commit to God, he'll bring it to pass. Wow. That means whatever you involve God in, he'll bring it to pass. He doesn't have to bring plans and paths that you don't commit, that you don't get him involved on. He will only let those things happen that you get him involved with. How many got some plans you're going to get God in on? That means like you, there's a bunch of CDs out there. If you got some things going on in your life, write down. Come to church with a mission. This is what's going on in my life. Don't just think this is just a little spiritual thing I'm doing. Amen. You better use what you get and apply it to your situation. Whatever it is, apply the word of God to your situation. And even this word, you can apply it somewhere to your life. All right? And it says, the Lord will bring me forth. That means he will present you. God will present you. He will be your forerunner. You know, favor is basically nothing but the Lord bringing you forth. That means when you walk into the room, you're the one that God brings forth. There are some people that just walk in, amen, and others walk in and the glory of God's with them, the presence of God, there's just something different about them. That's the Lord presenting that person with favor. That's the extra edge that you're going to get that somebody else doesn't get. There's a promise in the Bible in Psalm chapter 37, that the Lord will bring you forth. 7, it says you will inherit the entire earth. You might have to battle that out with God, but that's what he said. You'll get to rule the world. Fred likes that. When I saw a big smile on his face, he said, now this world stuff is there. Amen. But it says you will inherit the earth as a promise in verse 9 and 11. And it says you will delight in the abundance of peace. Why don't you stand up? Amen. Did this help anybody out this morning?